change the campus, and you change the world. I've been doing this for 31 years, and I don't get tired of it. I love young adults. I got four young adults of my own, ages 19 through 24. And it's just something that God has laid on our hearts, me and my wife, and so we are enjoying the ride. And thank you so much for investing in this ministry. You know, it's not about BC Campus Ministries. It's about raising the name of Jesus Christ and making him known in the lives of students on campus. And I don't know, how many of you have attended or graduated from post-secondary institution? Okay, some of you, so you know what I'm, know what I'm talking about. The challenges have increased, they've grown, but yet God is doing so many amazing things. And this is our team on the bulletin here. And where's Waldo is right there. That would be me. And we have had the opportunity of, in the last 11 and a half years, having 40 staff, campus ministry staff, come and go. Some have remained. And this is the group that we have right now that are on 10 campuses. And we're just appreciating the favor of God, the prayers of God's people. And I'm going to be sharing a few stories and pictures today. And I really have something in my heart that I hope resonates with you this morning. And so through all the pictures and stories, I think God will clearly speak through what we do today. So how are you? Are you okay? Hanging in there? Okay. Great service this morning. I love the testimonies. I think they're prophetic and they're encouraging. I spent last night with Irving and Brenda and their family, and they had a wild party that I got to be a part of, and they welcomed me right in, and it was great. Loved the hospitality, so thank you for your wonderful hospitality. I feel right at home here at this church. Lowell, Pastor Lowell, and the other staff, and you can just sense that God is doing good things in this place. Is that an amen? Okay, I agree. Well, what we do, and I got my clicker here, what we're about. There's our group on campus at one of our retreats. One of the biggest things that I'm about and what our team is about is being a non-anxious presence on campus. Because there is a lot of anxiety in our culture. If you read the latest stats, Statistics Canada report, one out of four of Canadians will experience a debilitating anxiety disorder in their lifetime. Currently, 12% of Canadians deal with anxiety. And on campuses, I want to say that's ramped up a lot. Because you go to a campus like UBC, it's a world-class university in the top 35 in the world. It's highly competitive. And there's a lot of stress. And you go to mental health services on any campus, and they are booked full. The counselors are busy all the time. Now, I was thinking about anxiety. And, you know, it hit me last night while I was in my bedroom. I forgot my dress shirt. And so I'm wearing my polo shirt from yesterday. So if anybody has some deodorant, that'd be great. I was thinking, oh no! You know, so anxiety hits us at different times, doesn't it? And sometimes it could be critical. But for students, they tend to deal with stress and pressure all the time. You know, get the degree in 4 or 5 or 6 years if they can, without a lot of debt, hopefully. But that's not usually the case. And there's grades to worry about. There's money to worry about. And by the end of the semester, if you live in the dorms on campus, a lot of times you run out of food. And so it's even a food issue, you know, a nourishment issue on campus. And so our desire is to be bring the presence of Jesus in a non-anxious way so that the world can see what Jesus is about. You know, and Jesus said in Matthew 6:25, do not worry, you know, do not be anxious about what you wear. Or what you don't wear. Don't worry about the food or the money or the clothes that you have. But seek first the kingdom of God. And the Apostle Paul said something very similar in Philippians chapter 4. He said, be anxious for nothing, but for everything, pray and offer your petitions to God so that the peace of God may guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Our world is full of anxiety, isn't it? You know, you've got protests going on in cities, and you know, ISIS, and you know, the crisis there and the anxiety. You know, you got Ukraine and Russia, and the sabers are rattling and the planes are flying, and like, what is going on today, right? And there's a lot of anxiety about the economy even. So as believers in Jesus Christ, he sends us to the marketplace. He sends us to our schools and our classrooms. And we get to be that non-anxious presence of Jesus to those around us. That doesn't mean we're stress-free because, you know, like some of you, I've lost my hair. And so it's proof of some stress in my life. But overall, on the campuses, our desire is to disciple students to who Jesus is. Not make them like ourselves, not clone them, but become disciples of Jesus. The campuses are our Athens. In Acts 17, there's a great passage there that is so relatable for today and so key for evangelism today. This is Outreach Sunday, I see on your bulletin. And I would encourage you to do a study of Paul's discourse in Athens, because it's beautiful. There's 3 points in it. And we don't have time this morning to read the scripture, so you just have to take my word for it. But some of these points are right from the beginning. And in the first verse there, in the first 17 there, Paul says he was concerned because there was all these idols that were in Athens. And he was distressed. And I can remember when I was in Taiwan feeling distressed and concerned as I walked into a Buddhist temple on a tour. And I'd never seen, you know, so much incense and ancestral worship going on. And I was a young adult at that time. It was my first missions trip. And, man, I got it. Like this is what Paul felt. He was concerned. But a little bit later in the scripture there, Paul talks about the unknown God that the Athenians are worshiping. They have multiple gods set up, and one of the statues that was there was to the unknown God. And the Apostle Paul says, I see that you're very religious. You know, he didn't actually go in there and cause trouble or throw darts at them or yell at them. He took something common, like worship, and said, I could see that you guys are very religious. And you worship an unknown God, but I want to proclaim to you the God that I know. And that's what it's about, isn't it? It's proclaiming the God that we know, Jesus Christ. And a little bit later, Paul talks about the appreciation of the culture that is in the city of Athens. And he references one of your poets has said that in him we live and move and have our being. And so Paul goes right through from the concern that he has about the idol worship to the acceptance, to the recognition, the cultural worship that they have, but takes it to the next level and says, although you worship unknown gods, I want to proclaim to you the God that I know, the God that is real, the God who I worship, and then appreciates the culture. And so he's making all these bridges, and in a sense, that's what the campuses are like. They're Athens. It's a collision of worldviews, philosophies. And we seek to add that influence, that positive influence on campus. So I'm going to be talking about some of the things that we do to try to really influence the campuses for Jesus. And at the end of that discourse that Paul has in Athens, you know what? After it's all said and done, at the end of the day, some decided to follow Jesus. Some kind of scoffed and laughed at Paul. But, you know, the gospel is preached and lives are changed. And so that's a bit about campus ministries is very similar to that. Multicultural setting. The world has come to Canada. It's missions in reverse, as Pastor Lowell was saying. Students are here for a season, for 4 short years to work, to study, and hopefully get that degree and go back and get that job and that career. And in 4 short years, the nations then are scattered across the world. What a great opportunity that we have right in our own backyard, even at Northwest Community College, to share the love of Jesus, to serve students, to pray for international students, for those that God has brought here for a short season, who are then scattered again throughout the world. It's beautiful. I love this ministry. Okay, how do we engage and bless the university? We're partnered up with an organization out of Australia, which we tried accents this morning. That's my really bad Australian accent. But Red Frogs is something that our denomination has partnered up with across Canada. And it provides a safe place in the midst of campus parties. So our students will volunteer, partner with Red Frogs, set up a tent canopy like that, bring a lot of water and Timbits, and set up in the midst of the frat row and the party on UBC campus. Thousands of students who are drinking, and sometimes, you know, it can get out of hand, it can get crazy, and actually lives are at stake in these kinds of situations. But Red Frogs is welcomed on the campus, and the campus are beginning to pay for what we bring. And we are there just to provide a safe place. So, you know, when a student is stumbling around and they're intoxicated or they just need a place to chill out, they can come to the Red Frogs tent. And we're there, Christian students, there to bring their arms and talk to people who are there at those parties. So we're right in the midst of it. And so you can pray for us because it's a connection point that our students have with their peers. We engage with other avenues of service, like weekly pancake breakfasts. One of our campuses has that every Thursday morning from 8 to 10 o'clock. It's a drop-in. It's a way to bless the university. It all started out because the dorm was open at the beginning of the year, 5 years ago, but the food service was not. And one of our staff team said, hey, administration officials, is there something that we can do to help the situation? And so the idea of doing pancakes started 5-6 years ago, and it's been the longest ongoing service that's been happening at that university. And it's been great. So we invite students to come and taste and see what it's like to be around Christians so that we can connect and share Jesus with them in practical ways and get to know them. We do barbecues on campus. I got a story here of a gal from UBC who came to one of these barbecues. And so this is her story. She says, I want to thank you for all your hard work over the past years and your commitment to the UBC campus community. When I first came to UBC, I went to the free barbecue. I went because the free food, the free food, and I was in the land and food systems faculty, and free food is always a bonus, okay? That's true with young adults. If you bring pizza, they will come, all right? I wasn't a Christian at the time, nor did I know anything about God, but someone offered to pray for me, and that impressed me. And after I came to the large group meeting on Thursday nights, I had no idea why I was drawn. But even after the long, stressful days, there you see it, anxiety, I still wanted to come and worship with this awesome community that you are leading. The following year, I went to the winter student retreat and became a Christian. At that time, I was healed of my chest pains. Now, this girl had ongoing chest pains, and at this retreat, she was healed of it. It was a miracle, and my journey of faith all started with free food at the barbecue and somebody taking the initiative to pray with me. He used you to make this community a safe and enjoyable place where I could experience a glorified Lord in ways that are unimaginable to most others. Isn't that great? We never know what will happen when we offer a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, or a pancake in Jesus' name, or a veggie burger, or whatever burger you like in Jesus' name. Okay? One of the things that we did to engage in practical service was to gather the UFV, University of Fraser Valley, custodial staff, because they never get to do the party, be at the parties. They have to clean up at the parties. And so several of them came, and they're like, wow, why are you guys doing this? And I say, hey, we just want to appreciate your hard work behind the scenes. And it was awesome. And those kinds of moments really create credibility, not just among students, but among faculty in the university. International students, we have a lot of opportunities to have Alpha on campus and do international student dinners. Sometimes we will just serve at the university's International Student Bazaar, which is totally unrelated to anything Christian, but we will go there and serve there. And you know what's really cool about that? Is that tweets and Facebook posts get lit up all over the place, thanking the campus group for partnering with them. And again, it's an avenue to create doors, many open doors for sharing the gospel. And these international students are hungry for the gospel. It's so cool, you know, restricted countries that Christian missionaries can't go to. The top level, the highest and the brightest and some of the highest level politicians, sons and daughters, come to the university. And they get to eat with Christians. And they get to have friendships born and built, and the gospel is shared. And then they get to go back to their countries. Will they be able to have a favorable impression of Jesus? Favorable impression of the church while they're here. And so we serve. And in fact, University of Fraser Valley honored that particular campus student group with a service award and a tumbler, thanking the students for stepping up on campus. And so, you know, there's just so many opportunities that we have to share and in practical ways on campus. Another thing that we are engaging in is the imagination with the arts. And so it might be a little hard to see these quotes, but we put an Impressions of Jesus display up on campus, and we serve 100 or 200 sandwiches at the noon hour. And these impressions are icons of the day, like Gandhi and Bono from U2 and others who say things about Jesus, not necessarily Christian. But the question on these posters are, what is your impression about Jesus? And it leads to all kinds of conversations about who Jesus is. And it's awesome. And so we try to engage the imagination with our outreaches and different things. Engaging the heart and mind, we brought in Gary Habermas and Rexha Him, who was left for dead in one of those mass graves in Cambodia during the time of the Cambodian killing fields. And to have one man talk about the evidences of the resurrection and life after death, and another man who survived the Cambodian killing fields was mind-blowing on campus. And so we try to really engage the heart and the mind as we do ministry. One of the really neat opportunities that we've had in the past year or two is the open doors with the Muslims. And that we're getting more and more dialogue with the Muslims. And this particular Muslim group asked if one of our staff would come and share about what the Bible had to say in the New Testament about forgiveness. And so what an opportunity. So our staff guy went in there and talked about the Sermon on the Mount and loving our enemies and reconciliation. That particular event was so well attended that they wanted another one. And so they brought our staff guy back in. And this time it was talk about what the Bible or what the Gospels, because they call it the Injil, and they recognize Jesus as a prophet, and they highly respect the Gospels and what they say. And so our staff guy got to talk about the end times and Jesus' return, because Muslims believe that their prophet Mahdi is going to return with Jesus to judge the earth. And so here, what an opportunity to share about what the gospel had to say about Jesus' return. And you know that nearly all Muslims, the way they come to Christ is through a dream. They often come to Christ because Jesus is revealed to them in a dream. It's really amazing. Time and time again, and Josh McDowell talks about this as he does seminars on Muslims. Almost all of them have an encounter with Jesus in a dream. And so one opportunity that we're having on SFU and UVic is doors open to share Jesus with Muslims. Who would have thought, huh? Another hot button issue is, of course, homosexuality. And it's one of those things that you might not think would want to be brought up on a university campus in a dialogue. I just read about one university, that a Catholic university, that professors, and it was all in the news, professor said, if you are against gay marriage, and this is in the U.S., then drop this class. That was what they said in the classroom. There's a big uproar over it, and it's all on the internet. But on one of our campuses, we got to have a 3.5-hour dialogue. And how did that happen? Because we had built relationships with some of those students in the Pride group. Our student president and the president of the Pride group at the university actually were doing a Bible study together. And they were talking about the big divide and how Christians and homosexuals, the gay community, do not dialogue enough. And so we took a big risk and we prayed. The Pride group said, let's talk about this. We have a movie that we want to talk about. It's a documentary. It's a gay advocacy film called The Bible Tells Me So. I encourage you to watch it sometime. You won't agree with it. I didn't agree with it because there's some revisionist theology in that documentary. But what it did is it opened our eyes to the hurts and pains of the community that many of us are probably in contact with. And you know, it's a hot button issue. It's legal. The issue is legal in Canada, but the churches and Christians, well, we take a bit of a different view. So we sat together and watched this documentary for 3.5 hours of watching that and the dialogue. The university president came along with his gay brother, and we had a pretty interesting time together. There was laughter. There was no chairs thrown around. There was no media except for the student newspaper, which we were glad for. We really didn't want this thing to go viral, you know. You know where that can go. But the university president said at the end of that time, he said, I wish we could have videotaped this. And I'm like, no, I'm glad we didn't. Just because it went so well. And so, you know, as you're praying and as you know people in the gay community, please know that you know, there's opportunities on campuses that we are taking steps, and they're not big in the media. We really don't want it to be, you know. We want it to be personal and out of a relationship. It hit the newspaper, and there's a quote there from Rick Warren. It's a great quote. I can't really read it from here. I'll turn around, but it says, "Our culture has accepted two huge lies. The first is if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear and hate them. The second is that to love someone means you agree with everything they believe or do. Both are nonsense. You don't have to compromise to be compassionate." You don't have to compromise to be compassionate. And again, it's having that non-anxious presence of Jesus on the campus. There was nothing like forcing the student group to pray like they've never prayed before. You know, there was some anxious moments. Should we do this? What could happen? I don't know. It could get in the media, YouTube, you know. We just sensed that God was leading us this way. And so it was, thankfully, a good outcome. So thank you for your prayers. God is good. The students are engaging the justice issues. It's human trafficking, fundraisers. There's just so much hurt that goes along with this issue. But our students are getting involved with that and a part of that. When there's students that come to Jesus, and this is a story about Addison that I'd like to share. He was a student at UVic a few years ago studying psychology and came from a broken home, divorced parents. His little sister had passed away. And he was drowning his sorrows of parties and alcohol. But he connected with one of our groups on campus, and the campus leader, the director there, began to get together with Addison and have coffee. And soon, Addison, guess what? He became a Christian. graduated from university, and one of his friends is an atheist who whole intent was to come and discredit Christianity. The Alpha course is going on, and the story goes that Harrison, is this guy right here, I think he's on the, there we go, there's Harrison. He was on the UVic soccer team, atheist, and Harrison began, Addison began to share his faith with Harrison. And as hardcore of an atheist as Harrison was, he and Addison would spend late nights talking. And then one morning at 4 a.m., they were talking about God, and Harrison asked how he could become a Christian. And he became a Christian. For the next 3 years, Harrison was sharing his faith with many, many of his friends on campus. Now, Harrison is up at Whitehorse, serving in the church, doing city outreach, and investing funds back into the ministry. Isn't that awesome? And Addison, the guy with the coffee cup, came on our team as campus ministry staff for 3 to 4 years. And now he's been recruited by a church, and he's serving on a church staff somewhere. But these are the kinds of stories that are happening. And again, we're about students reaching students, developing a culture of peer discipleship, of students who pray for their peers and engage in small groups and Bible studies and training in how to share their faith. Effectively communicating the person and message of Jesus Christ in our culture. I hope you could see our heart is to be among and express the life and love of Jesus, but also to do and to be practical and hands-on so that we're not just talking, but we're actually both in word and deeds glorifying Jesus. To be a non-anxious presence. James 1:19 says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So it's all about asking questions, being interested in other people's story. You know, and Jesus asked many, many questions in the Gospels, didn't he? He was the master. He was the coach. And he asked many, many questions of people. And third, we're about serving and sharing the gospel. So that's our story. That's what we're doing. That's what you have been partnering with us in. And we have hundreds of students meeting across campuses, 10 campuses. Pray for us. We'd love to maybe one day something start here on this campus. And I've been there, and it's a great little campus. So I'm looking forward to lunch. And thank you for your time this morning. God bless you all.